Pastor Jeff shared with us our new series here at the Fallbrook SDA Church, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. It's a study on these passages of Scripture that you and I have read often, and we believe that there is a message for God's people today. Amen? There is a message that we must heed to, that we must listen to, that we must follow in order to be partakers of the kingdom of heaven. That was the message. Jesus came to proclaim the principles of the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew does an interesting thing with his account of what Jesus did here on earth. First of all, he tells us about this genealogy. And basically what he wants to do is he wants to point Jesus as the son of David, lineage of David, because he presents Jesus not only as the Messiah, but he also presents him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He then presents Jesus born as a baby, this little manger, and these wise men, the Magi, who are coming to visit, and they bring these royal gifts. Again, pointing to Jesus as King and Messiah. He then tells a story of how Jesus went to Egypt and came back from Egypt, reminding all those Jewish listeners how God had led his people out of Egypt into the promised land. And finally, we see Jesus being baptized, being anointed. That's what basically the Messiah means, the anointed one. And we know from Scripture that those who were anointed were the priests, and who else? The kings were anointed. And so we have, again, Matthew pointing us that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King who has come to save his people. But when we come to Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus preaching. And he begins to preach after John the Baptist has been put in prison. And what catches my attention is that Jesus uses the same message of John the Baptist. He doesn't change it at all. He proclaims the message that John the Baptist was preaching in his time. And we find this in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we hear the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, what do you think about? Do you think of something future? Do you think of a place full of joy and peace that we do not find here on planet Earth? Do we think of the latter time of Earth's history, the last part of Earth's history? We do. We tend to think of the kingdom of heaven as something far away from us today. But when Jesus was here on Earth, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And why could Jesus say that? Because he was the king of that kingdom. Amen? And he was speaking to his citizens, to his creatures, to his creation, inviting them to be part of that kingdom. Verse 23 tells us, and Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him went out into all Syria. They brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus was a popular man. People were following him from all over. They wanted to hear his message. They wanted to be healed by him. And chapter 5 introduces to us the message that Jesus preached regarding the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus was not only the Messiah. He was not only the King of kings and Lord of lords, but Jesus was the one who had led his people out of Egypt. Jesus was the one who had taken his people through the Red Sea. Jesus was the one who had taken his people up to this mountain called Mount Sinai and had given his law to them. As Pastor Jeff shared with us last week, Jesus used this opportunity to explain his law to his people. The lawgiver was now the law expositor. And he shared with his children the principles of this kingdom. And verse 1 tells us, and when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed. Have you heard that word before? Blessed. Do you consider yourself blessed, brothers and sisters? Blessed. Blessed. When I hear that word, I think of things like health. I think of things like wealth. I think of things like obedient children. I think of things like happy marriage. Don't we think of those things as being blessings? And the Greeks, in their literature, that's what they considered someone to be blessed. When we go to Scripture, we find a different picture. A daunting picture of what it means to be blessed. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. We would say, wait a second, Jesus, you've got it wrong. That doesn't sound like someone is being blessed. In fact, it sounds like somebody's going through hard times, turmoil, difficulties. But Jesus, the great lawgiver, the great teacher, the awesome Savior, told his congregation, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who understand that, boy, if there's someone who doesn't deserve to be in that kingdom, it's me. I should not be in that kingdom. That sounds like a pretty awesome place. And if I go there, I'm going to mess it up. It's going to go haywire. Blessed are those who see their need of God, who understand their need of Jesus, who understand that spiritually inside we're all, in a way, dying. We've lost that connection with God, and, And many times we find ourselves in a situation and we ask God, what can I do? What can I do? And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're already there. Their name is written in that book of life. They're part of heaven's kingdom. And Jesus continued saying, blessed are those who mourn. Those who standing before God's perfect law. And those standing at this moment before Jesus as he was teaching, they saw in themselves nothing good and they could only mourn because of their decisions, because of their past. And they could say, God, how could you consider me to be part of that kingdom? I look inside of me and there's nothing good. I cry. I'm in pain. I'm in agony with my personal struggles. I don't have to think about what other people are struggling. I can just see what's going on inside of me. And it pains me. And Jesus tells these who mourn for the condition of this world, they shall be comforted. Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit? Comfort. God will send the great comforter to comfort those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle, the humble, the meek. Boy, when we stand before God's law, we feel small. When we stand before God's presence, we feel small. But God tells them, the gentle, they shall inherit the earth. Is it easy to be humble on planet Earth? It's not. You just need to have a sister in the house, right? Or a sibling, a brother. And boy, they do something to us and we want to react. We want to get even with them. But Jesus calls us to be humble, to be meek. Why? The meekest person to live on earth. Moses tells us the Old Testament. And Jesus, what does he say about himself? I am humble and meek. The king of the universe humbled himself all the way up to death, up to the cross. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God, I don't have that kind of righteousness, but I hunger, I thirst for the righteousness that you are willing to give us. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus was talking to the multitude, a multitude who was hungering, who was thirsting for this type of righteousness. In the book, Thoughts of the Mount of Blessing, Sister White shares with us this quote, as we need food to sustain our physical strength, so do we need Christ, the bread from heaven, to sustain spiritual life and impart strength to work the works of God. As the body is continually receiving the nourishment that sustains life and vigor, so the soul must be constantly communing with Christ, submitting to Him and depending wholly upon Him. There's nothing in me that can make me look more like Jesus. But the gift of God is Christ Jesus. And he imparts to us his righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I don't know about you again, but being merciful is not the easiest thing. In fact, Jesus told a story, a parable of a man who was forgiven millions. And he said, King, thank you for forgiving me this much. And he left the presence of the king. And as he was walking back home, he saw another person who owed him $12. He said, hey, I remember you. Do you remember me? He says, no, I can't remember you. He says, well, let me remind you who I am. I gave you $12, and I want those $12 back. Sir, I don't have the $12 right now, but I'll pay you back as soon as I can. How about next week? I want it now. If you can't give it to me, I'll put you in prison. Who heard about this? The king heard about this man who he had forgiven millions, and he could not forgive $12 from this other person. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The next blessing. I don't know about you, but I always stop there and think about it a lot. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And maybe like David, we all say, God, I need a heart transplant. I need a new heart. In fact, I need a new mind. What you're asking here, what you're saying, the citizens of your kingdom are pure in heart. I want that. I want it. The Mount of Blessings, she says the following. The words of Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, have a deeper meaning, not merely pure in the sense in which the world understands purity, free from that which is sensual, pure from lust, but true in the hidden purposes and motives of the soul, free from pride and self-seeking, humble, unselfish, childlike. That sounds impossible. But Jesus says it is possible. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. And this kind of transformation can only happen how, brothers and sisters? If who lives in that heart? If Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about Revelation chapter 4. Church of Laodicea. Jesus is knocking where? At the heart. And he's wanting to come in. The only thing we need to do is let him in. Let him in, and he'll change that heart. And he says that those who are pure in heart, they shall see God. They shall see him. They will understand who he is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. When we think of peace, we think, boy, that's not our world. Our world is full of war, turmoil, strife. We think of homes, also war at home. But what Jesus is talking about here is not just this kind of relationship, but what kind of relationship? Relationship with him. And there are many people in this world that have no peace because they do not know Jesus. They do not know God. And Jesus was seeing in this crowd, this multitude, people who were willing to bring peace upon this earth. by sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And he said, those who are peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. The last beatitude here is basically a two-part beatitude. Verse 10 and 11. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. When Jesus was talking to this group of people, the multitude, these were people who had left everything they had. I can see the disciples saying, Jesus, we left our job. Jesus, we left our family. Jesus, we're all yours. And Jesus, speaking to this multitude, knew that after his death, would things be easier for his disciples? No, they would experience even more persecution. If Jesus, the Son of God, was treated in that way, his disciples would also be treated in the same way. And I could see Jesus talking to this group of people saying, hey, greater things are going to happen. The city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. The temple will be destroyed. You will be scattered throughout all the world. But blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Because of my name. No other reason, but because they are followers of Jesus Christ. This week, Pastor Jeff shared with us on Revelation chapter 19. And if you go to the book of Revelation, you find Beatitudes there too. Do you know how many Beatitudes you find there? Seven Beatitudes. And each one of those Beatitudes, it's a Beatitudes for people who are living in the latter part of Earth's history. Do you think these Beatitudes are for us today, brothers and sisters? I believe this is an end time message given by Jesus. These Beatitudes reflect the character, the identity of the people who will be part of the heavenly kingdom. Will they feel inadequate about their spiritual life? You better believe it. Will they mourn because of the situations they face? You better believe it. Will they be humbled? Will they be meek in the presence of God's holy law and presence? You better believe it. Will they hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake? Yes. And because of that hunger and thirst, will they show mercy? They'll be merciful. And God's Spirit will dwell in them. And they will have pure hearts. And yes, they will be persecuted. Yes, they will suffer. Yes, they will go through hard times. But Jesus said, blessed are you. Verse 11 again, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad. For what? For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The disciples heard this message and probably just thought, pretty interesting. Jesus is bringing a new concept of what it means to be blessed. Pretty different from what we hear in our world today. Different principles. are being applied here. Fast forward, about a year later, Jesus was dying on the cross. They were devastated. 40 days later, 50 days later, they were in the upper room, praying together, studying God's word, asking, God, how are we going to share the good news of the kingdom of heaven? How are we going to do this? In the book Acts of the Apostles, this phrase caught me as I read it this week, page 57. The disciples of Christ had a deep sense of their own inefficiency. And with humiliation and prayer, they joined their weakness to his strength, their ignorance to his wisdom, their unworthiness to his righteousness, their poverty to his exhaustless wealth. Thus strengthened and equipped, they hesitated not to press forward in the service of the Master. They recognized their need. The only way they were going to fulfill God's mission of proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is near was if they depended completely on the power of Jesus. The only way. Do you want to be part of that kingdom? Does Jesus show us how we can be part of that kingdom? He shows us clearly. It's different. It's not easy. People will laugh. People will mock. People will think, you've gone crazy. But great will be your reward. The one who has promised it fails not. He keeps his word. He is faithful. And he will bring you through any difficulty, any difficult situation, he will bring you through. Can we praise God for that? And he invites us, as we go through this process, to rejoice and be glad. We have a beautiful message, a message that this world needs to hear. A message that Jesus is coming soon. Amen.